Welcome to Back to the Book broadcast this morning. Thank you for taking time to tune us in today, and we'll try to be a blessing to your heart this morning. This is a wonderful day, a wonderful day. And every Sunday is a good day, the Lord's Day. But this is resurrection time. It's a day we remember the resurrection of our Savior. When He got up, He couldn't stay dead. He got up. He said, I've got power to lay it down. I got power to take it again. And He did both of those. He laid it down and He took it back. And I tell you, I'm glad to be a son of God today. And we appreciate each one that's tuning us in. Trust it will be a blessing to help out of your heart this morning. And just hope you have a good day today in the Lord. And find your way to the house of God this morning. If you're at all possible, to go to church and trust God and be there and worship the Lord. Amen. And let God help you with your problems and your needs today. And certainly He will if you will call upon Him this morning. So it's good to be back in the broadcast time again this morning. And we want to pray for your needs, of course, today. And a lot of folks out there needs help, needs prayer, not able to go to church, not able to get out and do anything. And I know that's a hard time for you. And I trust that you will look to the Lord today for the strength that you need. Now, for this hour, you're here for such a time as this. God's never forgotten one of His children. He's never left one alone. He's never lost a one. And I'm glad that God is a wonderful God today. We have a wonderful Savior. We're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Our services at the church here will begin at 8:30 this morning, sunrise service at 8:30. And so you come and be with us today in the house of God. And then we're back tonight for the 5:00 evening service, same to worship the Lord tonight. But this morning at 8:30 at the church, you be there. Be on time. You miss something today. And so don't forget that. Remember to pray for the unsaved. Those folks need the Lord today. They certainly need a Savior. You've got someone. I have too. That needs the Lord, and I trust that we'll pray for those today. Father, as we bow in your holy presence, we want to thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for loving us so much. When we as vile, reprobate sinners, you gave your Son to die for us before we ever knew it, and you sent Him to die for the sins of this whole world. You loved every sinner, and you still love every sinner. You gave your own Son to die to redeem them back from the sinful state that they're in today. Thank you for reaching down to where I was at, Lord, and picking me up, put me on a solid rock, establishing my going. I want to praise you, holy name, for that this morning. Thank you for salvation through the Lord Jesus, for the sweet Holy Ghost that drawed me, brought me to my knees, and brought me to the Savior, and indwelt me when I got born again. And thank you for that assurance and that leadership and that help. Through all these years, God, you've been a wonderful Savior. You're going to carry us all the way home. Thank you for that. Now have your way, Father, today. Now use the broadcast for your glory. Touch some heart needs help today. That's what it's all about. Somebody needs some help out there this morning. Somebody going to hell. Somebody lost, never been saved. Oh, God, would you please convict that sinner this morning of their sins, help them to see their need of a Savior and get right with God and get saved before it's too late. Somebody's walking afar off this morning, trodden underfoot the blood of the covenant they're sanctified with. walking afar off. And I pray you convict them today. Help them to come, get right with God, and renew their vows to you and confess their sins. You made a promise you'd forgive if they do that. Now have your will and way, and everything that you do, we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, we thank God for you this morning, and we want to be a blessing to you on the broadcast today. And I hope you'll enjoy the singing this morning. You listen, ask the saying. Hope it'll be a blessing to you this morning.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. All priests and all his law.
Well, it's by the blood. Thank God for the blood this morning. All right, Matthew chapter 28 this morning. And I tell you, it's a wonderful story. A wonderful story. Not just because it's Easter, but just because of the fact of what Jesus did. Amen. Thank God for what it means to my heart today, and yours, I'm sure. And so I trust that you'll get a blessing out of it today. Matthew chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. That's all I'm going to read out of that chapter this morning. It's 8 verses out of Matthew chapter 28. Had a thought today. I was driving up the road today and got to listening to some preaching about the resurrection. Boy, bless my heart. And I got to doing a little bit of it myself, just going down the road. But I got a subject this morning. It would be this. He is alive. He is alive. I was going up the road shouting out this morning. He's alive. I'm glad Jesus is alive and well today. Now, there are several things in these chapters here. I know we just got about 15 minutes, and I know not much time, but I tell you, I want to share with you this morning. And if it don't, I may continue next week with it, whatever the Lord leads us to do. But first of all, we find the fact of his death, the fact of his death. Jesus died. I'm glad that he did die. He gave his life to redeem us from our sins. It was the blood of the Lamb that was required to make atonement for the sins of the people. It took the blood, and that Jesus' blood was the only blood qualified among men to make the sacrifice for the sin of the people. He didn't die for his own sins because he was sinless. There was no sin about the Son of God. Peter talked about that. He said there was no guile found in his mouth. Pilate said there's no find no fault in this man. There was not only no sin, there was no fault. Everything. Jesus did everything right. Praise God. And so the fact of sin, the fact of his death, the fact of his death is found in chapter 27 and verses 45 through 50, where the Bible said, Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land, unto the ninth hour. There about in the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man, I call it for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran, took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed, and gave it him to drink. And the rest said, Let him be. Let us see where he lies. We'll come to save him. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He yielded up the ghost. He gave his life for the sins of the people. He gave up the ghost. Now, they was talking about maybe somebody was going to kill the Lord Jesus and all of this. But Jesus said, I got power to lay my life down, and I got power to take it again. Let me tell you something this morning. Jesus is in full control. He was in control then. He was in control when Pilate washed his hands and turned Barabbas loose and put Jesus to the Jews for them to crucify him. Jesus was in control. He was nothing out of control about the Son of God. He was not a helpless person. No, sir. He had power to lay it down, had power to take it again. Now, that's power. The power of God give him the duty and the opportunity to lay his life down for the sins of the people. And that's for your
your sins. And that's for my sins. That's for everybody's sins. There's nobody in this world today that is exempt from needing to be saved. Everybody has to be saved. There's nobody exempt from the grace of God. He gave His life for everybody, for all people. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, my friend, today, it's by His grace that He died. He gave His life, and then He took it again. Praise God. That's what this Sunday is all about, this Sunday. He's alive. Praise God. He's alive. Amen. He's not dead. I mean, they put Him in the ground. He died. Yes, sir. And so we find the fact that the fact of His death is found here in verses 45 through 50. And the Bible said, And when He cried with that loud voice and yielded up the ghost, Jesus died. Then we find the fact that the law ended and grace begun. There in chapter 27 and verses 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Listen, and when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that was done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Amen. This was the Son of God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the fact that law ended and grace began. Amen. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. It was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom, signifying salvation comes from God to man, from God to man. So we found the fact that law ended and grace began. Thank God then, when the veil of the temple was rent, there was no more veil to go behind, to make a sacrifice and atonement for the sins of the people by the priest. It was no longer there. It was no longer valid for them to do that. Why? Because grace was beginning. The grace of God was beginning. Praise God, the very thing that men had been praying for centuries, in those Old Testament Jews that was looking for the salvation in Israel, how to bring about redemption for the people. Brother, listen, grace was beginning. The grace of God. Listen, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friend, let me tell you this morning that the law ended and grace began. Praise God. Brother, grace is in effect right now, and we're living in the day of grace. And I praise God for the grace of God. Amen. For by grace through faith are you saved, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man lest any man should boast. I'm telling you, it's by grace today. You can't add anything to that, and you can't take anything away from it. It's by grace. Amen. So the fact that the law ended and grace began, when that veil was rent from the top to the bottom, only the power of God could do that. Amen. God did that. Man didn't do that. God ended. God ended that dispensation and ushered us into the dispensation of grace. And that, my friend, today we're in that time until the Lord comes back again. Amen. Man. And then we find the fact of the barrel was found here, chapter 27 and verses 57. The Bible said, when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, had named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded his body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and he laid it on his own new tomb, and when he had hewn which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And then there was Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, sitting over against the sepulchre. Hey, I'm telling you, he was buried. And they buried him. He put him in that grave. He put him in that. He hewn that from a rock himself. And he said, I won't him to have that, because he was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave it to him. Why'd they do that? Well, he wasn't going to need it for 3 days and nights. And then Joseph could have it back. Amen. But listen, the fact of his burial, they put him in the grave. Are you listening to me? They put him in the grave. He wasn't drugged. He was dead. He gave his life. He laid it down. He was dead. He was graveyard dead. Amen. He was dead. His body was dead. And then listen, and so the fact of it, he died. Amen. He died. And then we find the fact, the fallacy of the cover-up. Oh, the fallacy of the cover-up. They tried to cover up the death and the burial of the Lord Jesus. They tried to cover up the fact that he said that he's going to get up. Amen. They tried to cover that up. And that, listen, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that when the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again." Now, they remember that. They heard the preaching of the Son of God. He told them emphatically, after 3 days, I'm going to get up, amen. And command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, "How you have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." And so they went, made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Amen. It was a secure place for a body to be. But I'm going to tell you, my friend, it wasn't good enough to keep Jesus there. Amen. We found the very next chapter here, the glory of his resurrection. Hey, he was in that tomb. Yes, it was sealed. Yes, the watch was on the outside. Men were watching, and nobody could get close to the tomb because they had the guards that was there. But then we found the glory of his resurrection. Praise God. He's going to get up. Amen. Chapter 28, as we read a while ago, at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And boy, those watchmen decided they'd rather be at home. They became as dead men. They fainted away. And I'm telling you, the glory of his resurrection had taken place. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified." Yes, he was. And he is not here. Hey, they said, "For he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." I'm telling you, he's not here. And then he said, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him. Lo, I have told you." Now listen to this chapter, this verse here. And then departed quickly from the sepulchre and with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. What do you think they were telling them when they came to the room? He's alive. He's alive. The Lord Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead just like he said that he would. He's alive. Get up. He's alive. Don't look so sad any longer. He's alive. And so Jesus had risen from the dead, and he's alive and well, thank God. And so that we found in the glory of his resurrection was taking place there in the garden. He didn't need to get. He didn't need someone to roll the stone back. He was already out of there. He'd already stepped out. Didn't have to have access hole to get in that hole in the ground. Brother, he just walked through the walls of it. Amen. And just like he appeared to the disciples there, he just appeared to them in the upper room. He just appeared. There he was in the midst of those disciples. Why could he do that? Because he is a resurrected Son of God. I'm here to tell you some good news this morning. He's alive. Amen. Glory to God. He's alive. Amen. He's not dead, praise God. He's alive. Now the world don't believe that. The religionists don't believe that. The lost people don't believe that. The agnostics don't believe that. The atheists don't believe that. But I'm here to tell you this morning that he's alive. He was alive. Over 500 brethren saw him at once. And he's alive and well. He's alive and well today, and he's alive at that day, showing how the glory of a resurrected body. He said, just listen, Thomas. He said, put your hand in my side. Put your fingers in my hands, and look and see if I'm not flesh and blood. He got up and he got out alive to resurrect us from the dead eventually one of these days. And because he lives, we're going to live also. If he got up, we're going to get up. Amen. You said they're going to put you in the ground. What are you going to do then? Well, my soul is going to be with the Lord. But one day the Lord Jesus coming back with the angels of God and with the multitudes in heaven with him. And he's going to call out the church of the living God. Amen. He's going to appear in the clouds. Thank God. And going to say, come up hither. And we're going to go with him. And we're going to live again. Amen. In a resurrected body just like Jesus did. Hey, it's going to be just like the Son of God. Isn't that going to be a wonderful time this morning, friend? I'm telling you, what do you say, preacher? I'm telling you, he's alive today. He's alive and well. Amen. He's not dead. He's not asleep. He's been alive, brother, ever since he walked out of that grave that morning and left those grave clothes behind, folded them, and put them in place there, the napkins in place, and folded them. In other words, telling those disciples, I'm coming back again. And brother, that's what he told them. There when he ascended back to the heavenlies and a cloud received him out of their sight, the Son of God said, I'm going to come back. Just like I go away, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so the reason we can say that this morning is a simple fact today. He's alive. Amen. He's alive this morning. He's living today. He's not dead. He's living. And we've got hope, my friend. And we've got hope this morning. And we know that he's living because he lives in our hearts today. And he's proved the fact that he lives today. And thank God one day we're going to get to see him. When everything's going to be over with, we're going to say, hello, good morning, Jesus. Amen. He's alive and well. Are you saved today? Are you saved today? Hey, it's Easter. Praise God, it's Easter Sunday. He's alive this morning. He's alive today. And so celebrate that. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus today, because he's alive. Amen.